This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. School is out for the summer across most of the country, but for millions of parents, they'd like to see their kids go to a much better school come fall. Up next, Dateline Scott Juhanek looks at efforts to give parents that option and the obstacles that remain in their way.
The debate over what is needed to improve America's public schools has coincided with the debate over school choice. That being a voucher, tax education credit, or opportunity scholarship program for a student to choose their preferred school over the one in their school district. In this piece, we look at the failing public school system, both in urban and suburban America, the alternatives to our current system, and the blocking points that stand in the way of reform. Virginia Walden Ford, director of Washington, D.C. Parents for School Choice, has been a leader and counselor to Washington, D.C. parents as they seek out a better education for their children.
We have watched over the last 20 years the public school system just decline. The schools are showing that the test scores of those students are significantly behind other countries even. And so a few years ago, we realized that something needed to be done to change that for children in the District of Columbia.
Private school choice policies like vouchers, scholarships, or education tax credits help parents to enroll their children in a private school of their choice. Lastly, charter schools are publicly funded schools that meet certain performance standards set by the government but are otherwise free from the traditional public school system. Ford explains their rapid growth.
We have a really strong charter school movement. I mean, 60 charter schools, 20, almost 30,000 children have left traditional public education to find a way into a school that better served them. And we were losing children. We could no longer tell parents the school system will reform itself. We saw no reforms happening.
Lance Izumi, Corrett Senior Fellow in Education Studies at the Pacific Research Institute and co-executive producer of the film Not As Good As You Think, The Myth of the Middle Class School, explains what he has uncovered in America's suburban schools.
What middle-class parents do is they buy into an illusion. They believe that because they've bought a nice house in a nice neighborhood and the school looks pretty nice, you know, the paint is fresh, the lawns are manicured, and maybe the sports team does a good job on the field, that means that the school itself is performing well. When in actuality, when you look at the performance indicators for a lot of schools in middle-class suburban areas, you find that a lot of the kids are actually not doing very well in the core subjects such as English and mathematics. In my research, you know, I found that there were hundreds of schools in suburban middle-class areas in California where less than half of the kids were proficient in English and mathematics.
There is a common thought that only low-income families are trapped and cannot escape the confines of low-performing public schools. Izumi, in his film, discovers that middle-class families are equally at risk.
One of the things that we need to have middle-class people think about is, like, why are they basically stuck with the single choice of sending their child to the local public school? They should have the same options that many parents, for example, in Washington, D.C. have had, but those vouchers or other types of school choice programs should be available to middle-class people because they are as deserving of those programs, and their children are often suffering from the same effects in terms of poor performance that kids in the inner city are suffering from.
Supporters of school choice hold the belief that tax-funded money should follow the student where he or she decides to go. Ford explains the necessity of this right.
You know, in my opinion, if the school system is not working, then we need to change it and we need to relook at it and use our tax dollars to do something more productive. I mean, if we are going to be a country that has a strong educational environment, then we've got to relook at those kind of issues. And, you know, ideally, you know, the money should follow the child. Parents ought to be able to choose the schools that work best for their children and have the resources to take advantage of those, whether they're low income or whatever.
The competitive-based charter school system has been utilized in Europe for decades. Izumi takes note of its success.
One of the places that we traveled to was to Sweden, which most people in the United States think of as kind of a socialist paradise, but actually in education, it's actually one of the most market-oriented systems in the entire Western industrialized world. Sweden has a universal voucher system, which makes available vouchers for parents of all income levels, not just low income, but middle income levels as well.
If these alternatives to our current educational system exist, what is stopping the progress? Ford explains the reality.
All of this has become very political. In my opinion, you know, it stopped being about children and it's become about politics. I mean, the bottom line is that we have to find a way to make sure the kids all over the country are getting educated in environments that work to the best of their benefit. And I mean, and is that not what Secretary Duncan and President Obama have done? They found schools for their families that served them better.
This debate can be summed up as a political interest battle rather than a dispute over what system of education ultimately works better. Ford explains the unfortunate situation.
Whenever we start talking about something that's urgent or something that can potentially help our citizens, then it becomes a political debate, and then all of a sudden you lose what you're supposed to be helping. You lose the subject matter, and it becomes, we don't want this program because my party doesn't want this program. And if somebody really asked what the program was about, I'm sure many of them would have forgotten. Until we take this issue of education and say it is only about how children are going to fare, you know, how children are going to be educated, you know, then we're going to continue to have these controversies and all these problems.
For Dateline Washington, I'm Scott Juhanek.
Thank you, Scott. When we come back, the latest on North Korea. Stay with us.